All right. Welcome, everybody, tonight. We're at Lesson 5 on page 81 of your Self-Confrontation Manual. Lesson 5, the topic is Biblical Dynamics of Change. If we think back and look back at the table of contents, we see the first eight lessons are a foundation to the rest of the course. Lessons 1 through 4, we covered who you are in Christ and all that is available to you as a believer. We also saw the inadequacy of man's way as contrasted with the complete sufficiency of God's Word in dealing with life. We noticed that in lessons 5 through 8, all have to do with change. They present a biblical methodology for change. Remember in Romans 8:29, it says what? That God's plan is for believers to be conformed to the image of His Son. It means that the normal experience of the believer should be a progressive change towards spiritual maturity. While God conforms, that is, He changes and molds us, believers, that is, into the image of Christ, He has provided in His Word specific guidance on how to put off the old sinful ways and put on the new ways of godliness. Lessons 5 through 8 describe this very important process of change. Lesson 5 describes life's history of problems. Tonight we're going to talk about how our problems begin, how they worsen, and how they end. Lesson 6 through 8 will build on Lesson 5, describing the methodology for facing, dealing with, and enduring problems biblically. On page 81, our memory verse is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Now, if we turn the page, we look at the top box on page 82. It says, "Neglecting or refusing God's way." And that's in contrary to man's way. What we normally, our fleshly desire would be to follow man's way. But neglecting or refusing God's way brings multiplied problems. To deal effectively with your problems, you must realize your inadequacy and turn to the power of God for salvation. Then you will be able to make the necessary biblical changes that characterize a child of God as you reverently depend on God and His Word. The purposes of the lesson are at letter A, to illustrate the consequences of following your own natural desires. Natural desires, that's our put-off. That's what we want to put off in our life. Instead of God's pattern, that's our put-on for change as outlined in His Word. Letter B, to help you identify a specific problem or difficulty in your life on which God wants you to work during this course. Letter C, to point out the importance of being a doer of the Word. Contrary to that, would just be a hearer of the Word. Anybody here just a hearer of the Word? I know at times I am. You know, many times that I hear the Word and I don't apply it as I should. And when that happens, then I start to run into problems in my life. And that's what we're talking about here tonight. Letter D, to encourage you to be prepared always to give your testimony of biblical change regarding your salvation and focus of life. Before we get into it any further, let's take a moment and open in prayer. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for this time together. Lord, I ask You to be with each one of us, Father, to put our mind on Christ tonight, on Your Word, Father. Lord, that You would bless us, that You would show us in our life, Father, we need to have change. How we can change in our life, Father. Lord, give us understanding, Father, of how we get into the situations we do. Lord, we know that it's just simply a focus on self and not a focus on Christ. And so, Lord, I ask You to open our hearts tonight, open our minds, open our eyes to Your Word, and help us to apply it to our life. And, Father, help us to take this forward, Lord, to those who are hurting this world, Lord, to our brothers and sisters, Lord, who don't know where to turn. Father, who may be looking to the world for solutions, Lord, would You help us to point them to God's Word? Father, we know that in Your Word is all this that is needed, Father, to live a life of peace, of joy, and, Lord, a life that's pleasing to You. So we ask for Your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If we look over at page 83 where the principles are, the top box there says, "Biblical change begins with your spiritual birth and continues throughout your life. Your purpose for living changes from a focus on living for self to one to dying of self, and you learn to love God and learn to love others in a biblical manner. Does this happen right away? Does that happen right away in our lives? It doesn't, does it? We have to work at it. We first have to start to identify it in our lives. Then we need to look at the areas in our lives we have problems and issues, and we need to recognize, you know what? I'm not following God's Word here. I'm not living as I should for the Lord. I'm failing in this area, and I'm having problems because of it. We need to repent of it, and we need to follow what God's Word says. We need to do what's right. Repent and do right. And it says in God's Word in Philippians, you know, if we do these things, we'll have peace in our life. We'll have joy. Roman numeral 1, it talks about the downward spiral in principle 10. It says, God's thoughts and ways are far higher, superior, that is, than yours. And His Word is truth. If you neglect or refuse God's ways or His truth, you'll experience ever-increasing problems, and the problems you will have will grow worse. Did you hear what I said? If you neglect or refuse God's ways or His truth, you'll experience ever-increasing problems, and the problems you have will grow worse. Let's take an example of this. There's some scripture listed under there. It says Romans 1, 20 through 32. If you would turn to that in your Bibles. Romans 1, 20 through 32. Let's start in verse 18. Romans 1, 18. It says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they were without excuse. Note here in the Scripture that man's separation from God is not a matter of a lack of knowledge, is it? God reveals Himself inside of man by means of conscience. You see that in verse 20. On the outside of man, God reveals Himself to just creation. You know, I used to think back, and some people had posed the question many times, what about the people who live out in the jungle who, you know, are not exposed to anything? What about them? You know, God's Word says that He has made Himself evident to the point that they're responsible for the way they live. They're responsible for coming to Christ. He has revealed Himself in their heart, in their conscience, and in nature and creation itself, that there is a God. Think about that. People who have never been exposed to anybody else, do you think they think murdering their own tribe would be wrong? Or maybe adultery in their relationships would be wrong? They know the same things that we hold wrong, they're wrong for them. It's because God has put that conscience in them. He's revealed Himself. The issue here is not how much you know about God. It's how you respond to what you know of Him that shows your focus. In fact, man willingly rejects God. That's the gospel applied in our life. We either reject God or we accept God. Verse 21 says, Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is exactly what we all have done. We choose to worship the Creator, creation, the world, our own lust, rather than the Creator. What happens when we choose to worship the world and not follow Christ? What happens to us? Say it again. Turn you over to your own lust, to your own ways. We choose to follow ourselves or follow the world and not follow Christ. We run into problems, don't we? We suffer. We have problems. We have relationship problems, discipline problems, problems with our families, our children, financial problems. Do we see that today? Financial problems with this country. What have we just run into? Do you think this country honors God like it should, like our founding fathers did in the very beginning, the basis of this country? You know, a lot of good things happened to this country. And it seems like we have become independent, we've become complacent, we've turned away from God. And we see now that we are suffering. Even our country suffers. Look at verse 26. It said, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Since they rejected God, God gave them over to degrading passions. For the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." What these verses are telling us is that God did to those who rejected Him and lived for the creation or for self instead of the Creator, God turned them over to their degrading passions, didn't He? Why do you think God did that? Why would God just turn them over to, if you want to live this lifestyle, then I'll just turn you over to that depraved mind and you just get deeper and deeper and deeper into it? Sometimes the only thing that gets a fool's attention is the consequences, isn't it? Hopefully we see the consequences of our actions so that we may see the error and be encouraged to repent. You know, I tell this story when I think about every year I've taught this course, and every time I hear about your consequences of your actions, I can't help but think back when I was a little kid. And I used to, believe it or not, I was real skinny at one time. And I was just probably in fifth or sixth grade. And my mother was sitting on the couch, and the couch, it was a wooden couch. We had cushions in the front, cushions in the back, but it was a wooden frame. And the bottom of it had like a little carving. It was almost like an ocean would flow, you know, up and down, up and down. Well, something rolled up underneath that couch. I thought I could get up underneath there and get it out. So I stuck my head up in there, worked it in, got an arm in there, and got whatever it was under there, and I got stuck. And my mom was sitting on the couch. I remember I told her, I said, "Mom, I'm stuck. My head's stuck." And she said, "Son, you got yourself in, you get yourself out." You know, and that always has stuck with me. I suffered the consequences of my action. And, I mean, that stuck with me, not getting my head under a couch. I don't do that anymore. But what stuck with me was, you know what, I'm responsible for what I do. And if I don't live the life I should live, if I'm not living a life that's pleasing to God, if I live for self, then I'm going to suffer some consequences. You know what? And it's up to me to repent and seek God's forgiveness and to turn from my wicked ways and start following Him. That's right. That's right. Yep. Yep. Exactly. Hopefully we see there are consequences of that of our actions and we change from it. I mean, think about it. Sometimes it takes that. Anybody who has children have learned that. You know, you tell them, "Don't touch that. Don't touch that. That's hot. Don't touch that." You stick your hand on it, and they got burnt. They go, "Oh, that hurt." Yeah. So I kept telling you not to touch it, but you know, you were adamant about touching it, and so you got hurt. In these verses, particularly, we see it's speaking about homosexual behavior, women with women, men who have turned to other men. And it says in here that homosexual behavior is presented as a primary example of depravity. And notice that this illustration does not only apply just for the period of time that the book of Romans was written, but it also applies for today's time, doesn't it? Very pertinent to today's time and what's going on in society today. Before and through the first half of the 20th century, homosexuality was considered to be depraved and a just horrible thing, just abhorrent. It was even declared to be a criminal act. There were hospitals and treatment centers that people would go to deal with homosexuality, but they practically had no success at all. So to deal with lack of success, it was decided in the 1960s that homosexuality merely was just an alternate lifestyle. Lifestyle was called gay. People still struggled. They were still defeated. In order to justify their sins, homosexuals claimed that they were not just following an alternate lifestyle, but they were born that way. You know, they didn't have a choice. It wasn't a choice to them. And not only that, they should celebrate and be proud of their behavior. We see that today. Now, as stated in verse 32, the proponents of homosexuality sink to the lowest depth by applauding those who do the same. Have we seen that part of society grow in the past few years? Where people have been proponents of homosexuality, say, oh, that's fine, that's okay. And you should come out and you should tell people about that. It's perfectly good. It says in verse 32 that they have sunk even lower by applauding it. Now even young children are taught that homosexuality is legitimate activity, and those who practice homosexuality should be protected by special civil rights and applauded for their lifestyle. In other words, we actually can see the modern illustration of Romans 1:24-32 played out in today's time. So God's word was applicable back then, just like it is today. Man gradually sunk lower and lower. Before we get to this next principle, let's investigate what is called the downward spiral. If you turn your pages to page 84, and if we keep the scripture that we just read in Romans in mind, thinking from when they started out, how it got deeper and deeper into this spiral of sin, we can think about our society as a whole. We can think about ourselves as individuals, and see how we can slip deeper and deeper down this spiral. At the top of page 84, we see, if you neglect or refuse God's direction in your life and choose to follow the path of least resistance, that's your feelings and desires or what seems to be good at the moment, you will be headed toward defeat and ultimate ruin. It says underneath there, it says, problems start in the heart. Let's look at Matthew 15:18-19. Problems start in the heart. Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders." The heart here in Scripture refers to the inner man, including the mind, the intentions, the motives, where the real person is revealed. Now, I've said before that you can be under attack. Somebody can provoke you, but they can't make you sin. We have to guard our heart, because what comes out is defining what's in our heart. The next one underneath in your manual at page 84, underneath problems that start in your heart, it says heart problems lead to unbiblical deeds. Those are thoughts, words, and actions. If we look at the underneath there, it says bad feelings. Unbiblical deeds lead to what? Bad feelings. Sometimes these are swapped here. It may be that, you know, your thinking leads to feelings, and that's going to lead to deeds. We see that in the heart chart that Brother Johnny covered with us. All these things lead to many problems in our life. If we look at this Genesis 4:6-7, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. starting in verse 5. You may want to write that in your manual, Genesis 4, 5 through 7, actually. It says, "But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell." In other words, he became depressed, is what today's time would call that. Verse 6, it says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your conscience or countenance fallen? If you do well, if you do right, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, if you do wrong, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." So we note that sin led to Cain's bad feelings. He became angry, he sinned, and he became depressed. His countenance fell. I'll give you an illustration of the relationships among the heart, the deeds, and the feelings, as we see here in our manual. The story says a student arrived at a boarding school. It was his first time away from home. His parents told him, you know, encouraged him to do good, make good grades, study hard, took him to the school, encouraged him all the way, dropped him off. His first day, he went and met his teachers. They encouraged him as well, saying, listen, you know, you need to spend time in the books. You know, you pay attention in class, spend time in the library after your classes, get your studies done. Later that day, he got out of his class. He was going to do his studies. He had good intentions. He knew he had to do the studies, but some of his friends came by and said, hey, let's go off tonight. Let's go out. The guy said, well, I don't know. You know, I need to really do these studies and whatnot. And he said, oh, come on, man. You got time. Let's go out. Well, he decided, okay, I'll go out. So he went out with them. Stayed out almost all night long. Started thinking wrong. Started doing wrong. Stayed out all night. Next day he had class. He was kind of anxious about it. He said, you know, somebody going to call on me here. I hadn't got a clue what I was supposed to be studying for. So he started worrying about it. Well, luckily for him, nobody called on him. So he felt pretty good about it. That evening, his friends came by again. And it came a little bit easier for him this time. He said, come on, man, let's go off. He said, oh, I really need to be doing some studying. He said, I got a test coming up. I said, oh, you can make that up. Let's go. So he went out again. A little easier. Same thing happened. Spent time with his friends, going out, partying, doing whatever. Wasn't doing as he was told. Then he started worrying about it. He said, oh man, am I going to pass my test? He said, sure enough, his test came around. He didn't pass them. He started failing them. His parents called and asked him, said, well, how's things going? Well, he didn't want to tell them, listen, you've been wasting your money on me. I've been going out partying every night. So he lied to him, said, yeah, everything's going good. You know, and he thought, well, you know, I think I got past that one. You know, my parents, they're not here. They can't see. Well, ended up in his final exams, he thought he would cram. He'd do good. You know, he could make up for it, but ended up he failed anyway. And so after he failed, he became real depressed. He says, man, I spent the whole year just wasted it. I failed my courses. My parents sent me here. I've lied to him, and I'm just depressed about it. Now, if this guy came to you for counseling, what do you think the first thing he's going to tell you is? What's his problem? He's depressed, didn't he? You know, I'm depressed. You're going to get the feeling levels, what you're going to get. You're going to get the bottom level. This is my problem. I'm depressed. What can I do about it? In today's time, you might get some antidepressants prescribed to you from a doctor. But that's not the problem. That might mask the problem. It's not going to cure your problem. The problem is a heart problem. Look at the illustration below where you see the downward spiral. Letter A says the heart level. His problem was a focus on self, wasn't it? Wasn't doing the right thing. Wasn't thinking the right way. Let other things influence him. He had a heart problem. He had a focus on self. Letter B says the doing level here is unbiblical deeds. He's tempted to follow fleshly desires instead of a commitment to God. Thought life was wrong. Following the flesh instead of following the Lord. We talked about that just a minute ago. He was lazy. Didn't want to study. Again, thought life. I struggle with that. I struggle with being lazy, doing what I want to do. But thought life's not right. But then you know what? If you think, oh, I can just forget about that. I just go past that. You know what? Takes you deeper down that spiral. You get lazier and lazier the more you go. Then it says underneath here, it says he didn't study. Again, there's some actions there. Right? Keeps bad company. More actions. Worries about failing the course. Again, his thought life's affected. Lies to his parents about readiness for the exams. Hey, unbiblical words, right? Cheats on his exams. Still fails his actions again. It affected his actions. Fails the course. He got some consequences there for his actions. And then finally, in letter C, the feeling level. He became depressed, despaired. He felt guilty. Now, this is just a simple illustration of how this works. Problems start in the heart, in our thought life. When we talk about the heart, we're talking about our thoughts, our mind. That's where, remember Johnny covered the heart chart, that's where the battle takes place, in our mind. That affects our feelings or in our deeds. You know, you can flip-flop those two. We start doing things wrong. And then we end up being depressed, or we end up with the consequences of our actions. So as we covered in Romans. Now, how can we apply that to our own lives? Doesn't have to be something that is like this. It could be an anger. What about anger in our lives? How can we start down a spiral, a downward spiral with anger? You ever met anybody that always seemed mad all the time? And you wanted to limit your contact with them because you didn't know if it was a good day, or even if they had such a thing as a good day, or if it was a really bad day, or just a bad day. You weren't sure, so you wanted to just kind of limit contact. How do you think that person got there? You think that they've always been that way? It may have started out, you know what? I'm so busy, they maybe started out there, were so busy in their work that when somebody come by to ask them something, if they act like they was mad, they got left alone. And then maybe that became something they could use, a tool in their life, a practice that they put on. Well, next thing you know, they start applying that to different areas in their life. It could be their home life. You know what? If I act mad, my husband's not going to mess with me. You know what? If I get mad at my children, they'll do what I tell them without any question. So it becomes a practice of their life, and to the point that that becomes who they are. And they start having problems in their marriage, at their work, with their children, and everywhere else. And all of a sudden, they look at themselves and they're just depressed. And they say, you know what? Nobody loves me. Well, I wonder why. Where did that start? At the very beginning. And that's where we got to take our thought process back. Where did it begin? And where you see where you failed, you need to repent of that and change. What else can you turn it to, brother?
Just one thing you notice, particularly with Christians. If we got a problem area like anger or bitterness or loose words or whatever, the Holy Spirit's always confronting us about it. But if we don't heed His warning, then we're going to go down the downward spiral a little bit more.
That's right.
The consequence is going to cost us enough pain that we're willing to change.
That's right. That goes back in. Thank you for sharing, brother. You're talking about how this affects a Christian. When we're disobedient, we continue to live our life in disobedience to the Lord. You know, it takes us back to Romans. It takes us back to the lady you were talking about. You know, God will leave you at a certain point and say, not that your salvation is taken away or anything. I don't mean leaving by that. But He'll leave you to yourself until you get to that point where you're broken and you don't have anywhere else to go. You know, I know that Brother Johnny had a counselee one time, and the guy thought everything was going good in his life. He said, you know what, God's blessing me. He said, really? And got to talking to him about his life, and he was living with somebody, and they thought that everything was just great because he was making good money, and he was living with a woman and had a good relationship. And Johnny said, really, you think you're doing good, huh? He said, yeah, I know God's happy with me. He's blessing me. He said, you ever think He's just leaving you alone? I didn't know what to say. Think about that. Maybe that something's fixing to drop. Something's fixing to happen in your life. God's just leaving you alone. He's leaving you to that. You know, think about that next time you think you're doing good and you're living a certain way. You think God's blessing you, but you know in your heart you're sinning. You know against God's word you're sinning. Something's coming your way. Some discipline. But anger could be one issue. Pornography. You know, people get addicted to pornography. We had a guy that came in and spoke at our church. It started a whole organization on helping people defeat pornography in their life. He was so addicted to it. just magazines, just spending his money online, thousands of dollars. I remember he told us that he had pornography magazines in his house. Married, the man was married, had a beautiful wife, but he's addicted to pornography. He said it would make him so sick that he would take them out and he would throw them in the nastiest dumpster that he could find and leave them in there. And he said, you know what? He said, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I get to thinking about it. He said, I'd go dig them out. That's how depraved he got. Now, how does that start in somebody's life? You think that all of a sudden you're boom, you're just in that situation? Or could it start with not guarding your eyes and guarding your heart? You know, Victoria's, I said before, these Victoria's Secret commercials, they ain't no secret to them. You know, and I teach my sons, and they're young, and I teach them, I said, boys, you got to guard your heart. You do that by guarding your eyes. And so when that comes on, we turn away, because there's a lot of things on TV and magazines and billboards all over that put men under attack. And women are under attack, but men, especially in this country, are under attack by sexual things. And that's where it starts. You start thinking, you start looking at that, and when you allow that into your mind and into your heart, Satan uses that as a tool. And he plays it over in your mind, over and over, and you start thinking on it. Well, all of a sudden, you know, you're not thinking about your wife the way you should. You know, my wife, she don't love me like, you know, these TV show couples love each other. She don't love me right. And so you start looking other places. You start trying to fill a hole in your heart that this world will never fill. You start putting things in there that are damaging. Like Johnny said, if you're a Christian and you're doing these things, brother, you're setting yourself up with some bad discipline. You know, you could lose your family. There's pastors out there who have fallen into this. They've lost their testimony. You know, you got to guard your mind. You got to guard your heart. And it's not just devastating life, dominating sins like that. It could be other things. It could be things like selfishness, you know, in your life. That you become selfish and you go down that downward spiral of selfishness to where it even affects the way you deal with your wife or your children, to where you start lording your position over them. It could be selfishness at your workplace if you're the boss. You know, your focus is where? On self. So we need to guard our thoughts and our minds, because when we let our minds go like that and when we start worshiping things of the world instead of the Creator, we start down this downward spiral. And that's going to lead us to some major destruction. That's where people's problems come in. When you have counselees come in, majority of the time, their problems are dealing with their self. And I deal with myself and I fail. You know, I focus on myself. And I have to fight this every day. Brother, do you? We all do. You know why? We're not perfect. We're not with Jesus yet. You know, and the good news is God has left us an instruction manual. He's left us His Word, hasn't He? And that's where we need to be. We need to know what to do, where to go, how we should think. And when we're not thinking that way, we need to realize it and we need to turn away from it. And it tells us in God's Word to think on what's good, what's pure, what's right. Think on Christ. And our reason for doing that is because what Christ did for us, isn't it? That's our reason. Although we were haters of God, He died for us, took our sins upon Him. Even though we rejected Him, do we forgive like that? Before we even ask, do we do that? That's why we do it. That's why we need to change the way we think. All right, brother, I'm going to close here, and we'll take a quick break, and then come back, Brother Johnny.